I'm hopeful, regardless of the outcome. Boost of positive energy without one. Sorry about the jab, I'm on a holy field. I'm bearing fruit, but demons try to eat them like Yoshi meal. I piss them off the Batman like Falcone deals. Jungle full of predators, I know how Mowgli feels. So I got the fire, refuse to live in fear. I can spot suppliers eating fresh shrubs. Call me privately,
yeah. Welcome to episode 163 of the Permaculture Pimpcast, the only Pimpcast on planet Earth, where we discuss permaculture, preparedness, and practical living. And remember, PIMP stands for permaculture is my passion. What's up over there, honey? What is going on? She's in here like beating up this microphone. Like, what is going on? Got the sound blasting my eardrums out. What is going on?
Okay, first of all, I was trying to start the recording and my shirt was hitting the microphone. Second of all, I didn't know that there was a volume adjustment on the cord on the headphones. I thought it was on the thing.
On the Rodecaster? Yes. Yeah. And you turn up the volume in a Rodecaster and about blow my eardrums out. All right, y'all, it's going to be one of those nights. So I guess I'm right again. I guess I got the episode right. It's 163. All right, as always, this episode brought to you by Hickory Ridge Soap. From twooldcrowshomestead.com.
Turn that simp into a pimp.
Bam! Heaven's Harvest, 10% off with promo code PERMA. Remember, all your supply needs that you need in these times. If you can't get yourself, go check out Heaven's Harvest. You're going to be glad you did, because we are definitely in the winter of our discontent. As I've often said, quoting the great Shakespeare, if he in fact existed. Probably going to cause a whole lot of problems with that statement there. But anyway, that would be some conspiracy episode that maybe I'll do in the future. Anyway, 10% off with promo code PERMA. And if you'd like to tip a pimp, go check us out in the Fountain app. You can pay us in a derivation of Bitcoin called sats. So if you'd like to drop some SATs on some PIMPs, go handle it over there on the Fountain app. Woman, you got me totally discombobulated. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Yeah, she had a little attitude earlier coming up.
No,
the thing.
I didn't.
Yeah, you did. You had a little bit of an attitude. Anyway, we'll jump right into farm news. So let's talk about that attitude. No, I was out there. It's one of those days I'm weed eating, and it's one of those things. I'm actually doing a video on it. Yeah, you're thinking, how excited could weed eating be? But the truth of it is, man, I've weed eated acres by myself for the most part. Michelle gets out there and she does, you know, when she's not tied up with other things, she'll get out there and knock it out too. But good night, man. I've all through fall, late fall, I guess, in the, you know, up to how far we are in this winter. It is amazing how much you can actually get done if you break it down in pieces. Remember, it's not a war you win in miles, you win it in inches. So getting some of that done. And I finally found the other fence. How about that? So we've never even seen this silver grass can grow. I mean, I've seen some of it probably 10 feet tall, and you can't even see what's over there. So, yeah, I'm pretty pleased to get to one side of the property. But the better part is now we're opening up acres and acres of grazing land that you couldn't run cows on. I don't care what cow you have. There is no way you could put cows in environments like this, but you can definitely do it with goats and sheep. So that's happening. Tomorrow I'm thinking, now that the weather is like doing this seesaw stuff, okay, well, it's getting warm enough to where we can go ahead and start putting out compost extract. And this stuff, once again, hat tip to Eric Sider, because this stuff is so fungal dominant. It is over the flipping top. By taking, if you're new to this show, taking some of that oat flour, mixing it into your finished compost, making sure your moisture's right, and then letting it sit for 3 weeks. It was information he got from Jeff Lawton, and he passed it on to me. And good night, man. That's exactly what most of us need in our pastures out there. We're not getting enough fungal life out there, and consequently, that's why you got a lot of problems. Or we're overgrazing it.
And not letting it recover and grow back.
Well, that's a very good point. And I'm glad you brought that up, because really, when you look at the amount of rotation, I mean, you got different rotations. Some people do it 30 days, some 60 days, 90 days. Some in the real high density models, man, they go even longer than that before they ever come back across the same stretch of ground. Well, we've talked about it before, that homesteaders can be the best thing in the world, or they can be the worst. And, you know, we've fallen into that trap too. I'm not saying I'm holier than thou. You know, when we were learning all this stuff, even after we knew it, we were still making colossal mistakes, but we knew we were, you know, but because we were making other mistakes at the same time. So now everything is, I am excited for the spring because of all the things we're doing. Should absolutely have everything on fire. But yeah, now that the cold weather seems to be heading on by, and you know, today was practically t-shirt weather.
Yeah. Tomorrow is supposed to be nice, and then the torrential downpours are supposed to start for
the
next.
Every time you say that, it's never quite that bad.
That I'm telling you, that's the way they're forecasting it. Rain for days.
Well, yeah, I did see that, but the chances on my phone, and it all depends. I mean, good night. So, you know, we'll make the most of it, but there's inside work that we can do. And part of it's going to be, you know, once again, instead of looking at this massive, colossal task you have to do, I keep bringing up the garage. The barn's basically got everything in it that it's going to have in it right now. And so there's a lot of stuff we put in the garage, and that is going to require some attention.
Yeah. Needs a little bit of organization.
Well, yeah. Because honestly, now that both of us are working out again, I don't know that you ever stopped, but I mean, you got to move so many things out of the way just to get to the weight bench.
Just to get a 2 square foot area to work out in.
So, speaking of working out, I'm, pushing up the intensity a little bit more. And on your end, how's everything going?
It's going good.
How you feeling?
I feel good. After the ruck march last week, I do one long ruck march per week. So after that, when my hip was bothering me a little bit, but I've been using the grounding mat, putting it on there, and it seems to be completely recovered. So
yeah, I got that idea watching that video about how the guys in the Tour de France were using their version of it on all their aches and pains or whatever that they had. And I was like, man, if these guys are using it, man, let's give this a shot. We're not using it in the same way.
No, but it's helped significantly.
Right. But I wonder if the way we're doing it is actually more effective.
Yeah. I don't know how they were doing it.
Yeah. I wonder if it is. How are you doing on the cold showers?
I hate it. Hate every second. Well, I didn't do it this morning, but I had been previous to, I'm not sure what happened this morning. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, the cold showers, I do think I've done the plunge before, and I think you get more out of the complete submersion of your body rather than just the cold showers.
So, well, that's one option we're going to be looking at. I mean, you know, I'm using that trough out there for, you know, putting out extracts, so it can't exactly use that.
Well, also, it would have frozen just our temperatures that we've had. It would have frozen. So yeah. It's not like it. Yeah. We would have
made that thing solid. No doubt. So on my end of it, I talked about it before. One of the little hacks I was doing there, and I'm telling y'all, it works. I don't know what happened today. I didn't do it yesterday, and I'm in there, and I told you, I was doing Psalm 1. Then I was doing Psalm 2 along with Psalm 1. I don't know what happened today, man. My brain was just one day off, and I got through Psalm 2 and I couldn't remember Psalm 3. And I'm sitting there like, okay, now how am I supposed to gauge this? And I was so aggravated with myself. I was like, good night, man. And then as soon as I stepped out of the shower, then all of a sudden I could remember it.
So how long are you up to with your cold showers?
Well over 3 minutes. And believe me, that stuff is about as cold as it gets before it actually turns into ice, especially in this weather. But I mean, as long as it takes somebody, it's probably longer than this, because I'm in there at first, I'm sitting there huffing and puffing, just trying to get some breath. So it's probably longer than 3 minutes, but you know, according to Gary Brecka, anywhere between 3 to 5 minutes is sufficient, and you don't have to be chipping ice out of it. So as I recall, like 51 degrees or below is adequate. So getting it colder doesn't, the science doesn't show that it's necessarily better. So anyway, that's how far I am. But like I said, this morning, I don't know what happened, but I just completely forgot I was like, how do I begin Psalm 3? I was like, what am I doing here? And yeah, so it drove me crazy. And then, like I said, as soon as I get out, I remember it all of a sudden. I'm like, come on, man. So I was pretty upset with myself and then said, okay, you know, that's one. Okay, so I'm doing that from Gary Brecka. And then, you know, instead of beating myself up about it all day, just taking some of that Joe Dispenza information. Like I said, folks, it's always hiring, looking for coaches out there in areas where they're, and I've described it before, decathlete. They got 10 events and they got a coach for each event. Well, I see permaculture and, you know, some of these biohacking things exactly the same way. Well, I'm not an expert on that, so I'll employ these experts. So instead of beating myself up about it like I would have, I remember, you know, Joe Dispenza saying, okay, yeah, well, you missed the mark this time. You'll get it tomorrow. And so I'm able to leave things on the table without letting them just
ruin your day.
Yeah. And I'm, you know, and I'm on you about doing the very same thing.
Yes.
So I'm a little further down the road when it comes to that, but I put in a lot of work on it. So folks, it can be done. I mean, if you think your state of mind, the way you've had it your whole life is what it's always going to be, well, I'm living proof that it doesn't have to be that way. I mean, I know I got you on the spot here, but you're going to gather around your man and tell everybody.
You have to finish the question.
Yeah. Well, I thought it was self-evident, but so, yeah.
As far as Joe Dispenza goes.
As far as I go.
But I'm talking about as far as his techniques, is that what you're talking about?
Are you seeing a benefit to yourself in my behavior as of late?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Let's say that again, baby. Say it with love. Amore.
You have issues.
Amore. Come on.
Yes, because you would get hung up and stuck on things and want to argue about it.
What?
And you.
I know you did not.
Are you actually saying that you didn't? Are you trying to argue that?
If it was worthy.
It was over everything.
It wasn't everything. If it, look. Hey, you know,
but the point is, okay? The point, what I don't,
we got different standards.
The point is, there would be issues that you would get stuck on and hung up on, and now you just kind of let it go.
There you go. That's what I'm talking about. Was it so painful to say that, honey? Was it
so painful to admit that you like to argue at times?
I never like to argue. I just, you know, if somebody's wrong, I'm not going to back down. That's just how I'm
called to argue.
No, well, honestly, in truth, and this really goes for, I mean, we kind of discussed it when we were sitting down to dinner a little while ago. You know, the comments, you're always going to have those nasty people that leave nasty comments. I don't get hung up on that anymore. Half the time, you know, there's a lot of times I'm not even sure these people are real people anymore. You know, when somebody goes by, you know, their YouTube handle is 5741-98. You know, I'm thinking, okay, that's probably a bot. And they know so much about you with these phones and everything else. They know what's, and they're listening to everything through these phones. So they know exactly how to set you off. So I'm like, well, good. You know, I won't even respond to those comments. I don't even delete them if they're nasty. I'll just leave it out there. You know, hey, that's how you feel about it. Or if it's even a real person.
Yeah.
I mean, we're finding out, you can usually tell because somebody has, you know, like Jim, you know,
there's actually a name to it.
Well, there's a name. And then a lot of times when it was a computer in the past, the syntax would be off. I mean, you could tell that people don't speak this way. And so you can kind of tell now that they've gotten so good with these AIs. I'm not sure it's even possible to tell sometimes. All right, so some other farm news. Once again, a little heads up on the freeze dryer. Got that thing running day and night, folks. And it's not because of what a lot of people are talking about right now. Okay, every month over the last year, every month, somebody, some prognosticator of doom is coming up with a date. And yeah, sooner or later, they're going to be right or, you know, within the margins. And then the next month comes and goes. And like I was talking about that one guy, oh my goodness, Bo Pony. Okay. Yeah, he's gotten some things right. But just heard his latest interview here in January didn't even address the fact that all these claims that he made in December, none of them happened.
Well, I think there's a lot of people like that. He's not the only one. There's some people, major podcast hosts, that take these extreme stances and then it doesn't come out the way that they say, but they never, you never hear them say, well, that didn't really work out the way I thought it would.
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, Jack Spirko was texting me the other day about one of those people. I'll have to tell you that offline. I'm not going to make it public, but it was one of the very people I know you're talking about, where they make these grandiose claims. They don't come down. The date comes and goes, and, you know,
they just keep,
where are we at?
Yeah, they just keep going with this constant state of fear.
Now, sooner or later, now I can look at the tea leaves, and I can tell, going back to the freeze dryer thing, look, I'm getting rid of some of the older meat out there, and it's not just lamb, it's, you know, other things as well. You know, it's amazing how many ham hocks you can actually stack up over the years, you know, and so you got to do something with them. So I'm like, okay, I'll find some creative ways to do this and freeze dry it and put it back, because I know, I mean, you don't have to be Edgar Cayce to figure out what's going on right now. And like you said before, I mean, maybe you want to state it again, when COVID came and went and so many people went in the back in the matrix, you remember what you said about those people?
Yeah. Like, I, first of all, I don't understand how you can, if you know, if you live in a society where that can all be, we can go right back to that quickly, why would you go right, why would you not just stay prepared? But it's like these people, they keep, I don't understand, like people must keep the bare minimum in their refrigerator and on their shelves. Like what, enough food for a day and then they got to run to the store?
Well, you see it before every storm.
Yeah. It's like, oh, we got to run to the store. Like, what is going on in your house that you don't have that much food? Like, if it's a if it's a money thing, I can understand that. But if it's just because, oh, you think the grocery store is always going to have food on the shelves, I don't understand why you're just counting on that.
Yeah, that's, you know, I never understood that. It was like a guy, I don't recall his name, Seth Holthouse, just interviewed him on Man in America. And man, all I could think the whole time is I'm giving him a mental amen with everything I hear him saying. Like, you know, throughout all of human history, what people call preppers, and I hate the use of any word that ends in ER for the most part, that would have been just the way you live.
Yeah.
You would have called him a prepper. I mean, your grandparents, your great-grandparents. This is a modern thing altogether. Back when I was still working on radio, I remember one of the Scott Parks at KMBZ in Kansas City. Boy, he got under your crawl one time talking about the water. Like, yeah, he said if you had more than a case of water.
Oh, yeah. Then you were, what did he?
Basically a lunatic.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I remember that.
Well, he's going to be singing a different tune along with a lot of the other people out there who are, you know, self-proclaimed normies or anything along that line. Because it's starting to get real, and it's going to get realer. There's a word that ends in ER. So didn't have a problem using that one. But the point being is that all these things are starting to converge. You cannot have a country this depraved and expect a decent outcome. I just don't see how that happens.
I don't either.
All right. Well, I don't have a download from Pastor Lon tonight, but before we get into the good news, I want to tell you about Redemption Shield, one of our latest advertisers on the show and one of the ones I'm most excited about because we literally use their products every single day. How are you sleeping on that grounded mattress, honey?
Great.
Bam. That's what I'm talking about, along with some of the other hacks that we're going to talk about here in a second. But yeah, if you need to ground, you want the best price for it, you also get a 10% discount with promo code PERMA at redemptionshield.com. So for all of you people that are wanting grounding mats or some means to ground yourself throughout the day, look, that's one of those big hacks that people like Gary Brecka and Andrew Huberman and a number of others. I know biohacking seems to be something of a fad right now, but once again, just like in terms of preparedness, it's only rediscovering what people knew long ago.
Right.
You know, things like
going outside in the morning and getting sunlight
and doing it intentionally in the morning, right, to do that very same thing. You know, you got your grandparents and great grandparents that did it. They walk around barefoot. Okay. All these things that we're just rediscovering, we're victims of comfort. when you get down to brass tacks. So that's what we're trying to get out of, and that's what we're trying to make everybody know about. All right, so check this out. I want to talk about, I've kind of talked about it before, but here's another little angle on it from this article, and it's the benefits of morning sun. All right, so I'm just going to kind of run through these, but think about this because I got a little story for you regarding some of this. So number one, daylight improves nighttime sleep. I'll come back to that in a second. Vitamin D production, which we all know. Physical activity and cortisol. That also goes in with one of the things I'm going to cover next. Regulation of your circadian rhythm. You get out there, you see that light, your body's saying, okay, it's time to get up. Serotonin boost. Melatonin regulation, which, you know, is going to help you sleep. Better sleep patterns, enhance mood and energy, and increase productivity. Now, I'm going to go back to number one. Daylight improves nighttime sleep. Now, we talked about it this morning, when I told you the phenomenon that was happening with me. Folks, what you don't know, I got to sometimes beat her over the head to get her to do some of this stuff because she gets so tied up in what she's doing that day. And don't smirk, you know,
well,
I'm right.
Well, first of all, there was a period of a few days where the sun wasn't even, it was cloudy. Right. So I kind of got out of the habit. And then I never got back into the habit is what actually happened.
Right. Well, when the sun came out, I went out there and I purposefully, I did it and then I didn't do it. And then I noticed a massive difference in my sleep. I can literally go down there, lay in that bed, put my head on the pillow, and I'm out. Every single time I do this, when I don't, it's more of a struggle. My brain, you know, I don't know if it's a deficiency or what, but my brain's going at 100 miles an hour. I'm thinking about the projects I got going on. I'm thinking about what I want to do. I got this level of excitement in there. And sometimes it's a struggle for me to go to bed. Whenever I do this, when I get out there and I see that morning light, it's not a problem at all. So you did it late yesterday, but you slept good.
Right.
And then you did it today.
Yep.
And you did it, you know, appropriately. It's a little different for us because we live in the mountains and it can be 9 o'clock before that sun comes over the mountain.
Yeah, which we're usually done with chores by then. So then we got to go outside and which it's not a big deal because I was doing my grounding this morning when I was looking at the sun.
Right. You can stack this stuff. You can sit here and do deep breathing, grounding, and get in the sun all at the same time. And you can get it all done in 15 minutes. And like I said, that's three right there you can do. And you'd be shocked at how much it makes a difference. And one of these others makes a big shock. You've heard me talk about it. And tomorrow, the Homestead Honey is going to give it a shot, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And she's saying that with a great deal of reluctance. And I'm talking about delayed caffeine intake because the first thing you do, I'm already up. And then you come out there in the kitchen. Of course, you got that whole cavalcade of animals dragging behind you.
I have two animals. I don't have a cattlecade.
Yeah. You might as well have a whole zoo walking behind you. Yeah. She loves it in the morning. I'll let the cat out. Let the cat in the garage in the bedroom, and then all of a sudden, come here, little kitty, kitty, kitty. And then I'm like, oh my goodness. And the dog's already on my side of the bed by that time. So yeah. So this one basically is from Andrew Huberman. He's one of those big time biohackers out there. And I use another one of his things where when I get up in the morning, obviously I'm not drinking coffee, but what I do drink now, brace yourself, is salt water. So right now I'm taking about a quarter teaspoon of Celtic salt, stick it in some water, and I drink it, you know, let it dissolve, obviously, and then drink it. Believe it or not, it helps immeasurably with hydration. That's actually the next article I'll get into here in a second. But life hack, while the timing of your morning coffee is everything, and the reason why is if you can wait 90 to 120 minutes after you wake up, This is down to a second element relating to your alertness, cortisol. Shortly after waking, your body experiences a spike in cortisol, which helps clear adenosine. If you consume caffeine before this spike, its productivity is disrupted. By waiting for your caffeine, you're giving your body enough time to clear out the adenosine in your body so it doesn't come back to haunt you once the caffeine wears out. That's why if you drink coffee right off the bat, you wind up tired later.
Then you just keep drinking more coffee.
Yeah. Yep. Well, okay. Do you see the problem here then?
But yeah. I'm just telling you what people do. There's right. People that just drink coffee all day long.
Right. And so I usually wait until, you know, I'm up for a while and then I do the chores and I'm way past that 120 minutes by that point. I drink the coffee then. Now, the problem is she makes that stuff so doggone potent that you could have, I literally had panic attacks before.
Not with this stuff. Well, this isn't the espresso grind.
I don't know what you did, but some of that stuff is a little too much.
That was that good Louisiana coffee.
I don't know what it was, but whatever you were doing to it was, I mean, I got to ease back off of that stuff. So anyway, she's saying I got to water it down if I'm going to, we ain't changing nothing. Okay, I can dig it. But the point of it being is that when you get that coffee right off the bat, I know that seems like of all the hacks I've done, and some of them seem pretty far out there. I'm talking like serious fasting, some of the other things. This, for me, has been the hardest. And I told you.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be that hard for me once I get in the habit. Because in like I told you earlier today, in Texas, there for a while, I wasn't even drinking coffee because I would just start drinking water immediately. It was hot enough, and William and I would go outside and do the chores. I didn't even want coffee. I was just drinking water as soon as I woke up.
Well, you don't usually want food either when it gets too hot. But I mean, we live in a place now where it really doesn't get all that hot.
No, it doesn't get hot here, but I didn't have a problem stopping coffee. So I think once I get in the habit of it, it'll be fine.
Yeah, just you give it a shot. Believe it or not, it makes all the difference in the world, folks. And all you're doing is just, believe it or not, it actually tastes better when you delay the gratification a little bit. It really does. And maybe you don't do all 90 minutes, or maybe you can. Just get up, wait, put it in the cup. Yeah, you're going to be jonesing until you get it, but you're going to like it even more. And it's just, it's these little bitty hacks that make all the difference. And it really does. All right, so I kind of jumped the gun on the last one, but it's salt water. And that's from Andrew Huberman. So he adds about a half teaspoon in his morning, based on the understanding that neurons require ionic flow, meaning they need sodium, magnesium, and potassium to function. It seems counterintuitive, but believe it or not, when you read all the evidence on this stuff, you actually, the water you drink after doing that, you are becoming more hydrated by doing it. My man Ike up there in Pennsylvania has a version of it he calls snake juice.
Yeah.
That you got some still made down there, right?
I have the stuff to make it, but I quit. I was drinking that for a while, but I was struggling to eat when I was doing that. I don't know. I'm not sure what the, so I stopped doing it, but, cause I was really having a hard time. It's like, it takes away, I don't know if the minerals just like it
satiated.
Makes,
yeah.
Yeah. So like, yeah, well, I wasn't hungry.
It made all the difference in the world when I was fasting. He suggested it to me back then. I was doing it a lot when I was fasting, and I was like, man, this made life a whole lot easier.
Yeah, I think it would be very beneficial if you're fasting.
Yeah, I did it then. Want to give a shout out to my man Ike, because honestly, that was kind of a game changer in a big way. But anyway, it's little tiny hacks like the benefits of morning sun, delayed coffee, salt water. I mean, take whatever time you can. Go to work early if you got to leave out early, you know, before the sun's up. Take whatever time you can. You want to do that morning sunlight as early as you possibly can. And, depending on which data you look at, some of them say that it's best to do it before noon. Well, you want to do it as early as possible. Like I said, sometimes the sun ain't coming over the mountain here until 9 o'clock. So it is what it is. You do what you can. But try some of these stuff. And folks, by all means, email me, billy@permapastorsfarm.com. Let me know how some of this stuff is working out for you, and I can pass it on to other people out there. Look, it's the little, like I talked about a little while ago when I was talking about the freeze dryer and why I'm going through all the effort of doing that. That thing's literally running day and night. The reason I'm talking about all this is you have no shortage of people out there that used to be homesteaders. Now they're in a fear-mongering game on YouTube because they know the algorithms favor them, and they're not really offering any solutions. Look, at the end of the day, if there are little hacks we can do to get our bodies squared away for what's likely going to happen, it's those little things that might make all the difference in the world. In fact, it just occurred to me. You know what would happen to this country if we couldn't get coffee? Do you have any idea? Things would jump off. Everybody's talking about the people that are on psychoactive medication, you know, the serotonin reuptake inhibitor drugs and stuff like that. But man, I got a feeling there's going to be some fatalities if people can't get coffee.
Remember during COVID when they shut down the liquor stores and then they very quickly opened them back up because they realized that wasn't a good decision?
Yeah, because you're telling people, it would have fallen, it would have destroyed their narrative, because now all of a sudden you got people that are going out. Now they're not going out. And now what are you going to do with those people?
I think it would be the same thing. It would be a very bad situation.
Yep. All right, y'all, we're going to go into my man, Eric Sider.
Hey, Eric Sider here with your PimpCast tip of the day. Today's tip: alternatives to political systems. The temporary nature of political systems is an impediment to effective action. They offer the illusion of choice and promote division and distraction while power and resources are concentrated into the hands of an elite minority. Change never happens from the top down. It is always from the bottom up. Politics are based in power-centered, not life-centered systems, and offer no solutions for long-term earth repair and stability. Permaculture attracts a diverse group of people. It is this diversity that offers creative solutions based on our differences. We do a disservice to ourselves and the planet when we disregard others based on beliefs. As Bill Mollison writes, belief is of itself not so much a difference as a refusal to admit the existence of differences. Thus, it is not differences in themselves that are important. It is how all groups relate to the basic rules of the local ecology that permit them to function on a long-term basis. We believe in those systems that enable us to behave without guilt with respect to our resources and our own culture. When enough people change, then political systems, if they are to survive, may follow, or become as irrelevant as they now appear to be in terms of real solutions. For this reason, the place to start change is first with the individual, oneself, and second in one's region or neighborhood. You can find me on YouTube and Instagram at Eric Sider, and if you're in need of permaculture t-shirts or remote permaculture consultation and design, head over to ericsider.com.
That's my dog right there. Boy, I couldn't agree more. You know what he said there? You know what it just reminded me of?
What's up?
A guy running for president that almost nobody knows about, Dr. Shiva. Yep. Because everything he's talking about there is exactly what Eric said right there. It's systems thinking, which is why I'm going to try to reach out to him to get him on the show. The guy's wicked smart. He invented email, for crying out loud. But nobody is letting this guy get the light of day on any kind of mainstream stuff, because he flies in the face. He's the only person I would ever consider giving money to be president.
Yeah. Yeah. He speaks the truth on every topic, I think.
Yeah. I haven't heard any inconsistency in him, but how many guys or people, gals, I don't care who, running for president would even have a message like that, that we need to decentralize just about everything, forget about things on a national level. Let's work at everything on a local level. Let's get people back to where, you know, the government should be there for no other reason than to make sure our rights are in order. And now, and even the fourth estate, you know, the prostitutes out there, they're for the state. So, good night. I would love to get that guy on here, because he might absolutely floor a lot of the people out there that seem to think that the choices they see up there are all that's available. I think if more people heard the message of him, like I said, I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican. He's actually running as an independent. And based on what I've seen so far, that's where my vote's going, because my intention was not to go on about Dr. Shiva, but he's the only person I've seen that it does not appear to be sold out.
Yeah.
To some interest or another, unless he's just that slick and I'm not seeing through it. All right. Before we get into the main topic, EMP Shield. $50 off with promo code PERMA. Remember, yeah, if you're out there, things jump off, EMP goes down, you're probably not going to go to the grocery store. You're going to try to get back to your bug out place, or you're going to try to get back to the crib. Either one, that's why I got EMP Shield on the vehicles. But if you're in a position where you got it on the house, lightning is your number one threat. And believe me, I'm a journeyman electrician with well over 2 decades experience. And I'm here to tell you that I've installed a whole lot of transient voltage surge suppressors out there. There ain't even a close second to EMP Shield. That's why I reached out to them. They didn't ask me to do this. I reached out to them. So promo code PERMA for $50 off. All right. So main event here. And I got to give you a little background on this. And there really ain't much background. I'm going through YouTube for whatever. I can't remember what. You know, things just pop up in your
recommended.
I don't know if that's what it is. I don't know what to call any of this stuff, but it just pops up on the screen. I'll say that. And it was nothing more than a meme. And it had, who's that black dude that used to be a Navy SEAL?
David Goggins.
Yeah, Goggins. Yeah. So, you know, he's a motivational guy. And it was just this little statement there. And it said, stop negotiating with yourself. That thing hit me like a ton of bricks. Maybe because it was at a time in my life where I really needed to hear it, which is about a week ago. Here's what I mean by it. We talked about some of these biohacking things that we're doing already. Now, this applies to just about everything. Let me tell you how I took it and how I think he meant it. I know that I got to get in that shower. I know that I got to go work out. I know that these are things that typically I'm thinking, man, I really need to get on. I got compost out there I got to deal with. I got this. I got that. I got all these other things I need to get done. And then you wind up putting them on the shelf so much to where either it's onerous to do it at a certain point or it's just downright uncomfortable and you're half doing it. So when he says stop negotiating with yourself, I'm having this mental gymnastics in my head. And we all do it, especially with things that we don't want to do. And for me, I sat there and did a personal audit of how much time I'm wasting by arguing with myself as to whether or not I'm going to get in this thing now or 30 minutes from now. And it's enormous. I mean, 30 minutes may not seem like a whole lot, but believe me, y'all, there's a lot on the plate around here, and I'm trying to get done as much as I can. I can honestly say the only time in my life where I didn't negotiate with myself was when I was doing 75 hard. Didn't give it any thought, just knew that I had to get this done. And it didn't necessarily matter what order it got done. I just know that it had to get done because I didn't want to let myself down. And I was like, okay, how do I get that back? Yeah, I can go back and do the next phase of 75 hard. But there's other goals where that's going to fly in the face of. I guess I'm still thinking about whether or not I want to do that. But when I'm talking about negotiating with yourself, I'm out there thinking, okay, I know I'm supposed to go out and work out, but I'm not doing it because I got all these other things I need to get done. And then before it's all said and done, I'm out here half doing it. So what are the other things in which I'm negotiating with myself? And I'm bringing this up because I know that there's a lot of people out there that are doing your version of the very same thing. It comes down to projects too. One, once again, is one I spoke about. I should have been on this weed eating 3 years ago. Should have did this 3 years ago. I just knew it would be a flipping nightmare. But my brain was structured differently then. I would look at this massive undertaking of trying to get this done because it ain't like you can roll a tractor up and down these mountains.
No. Yeah. You have to use.
It has to be done by hand or animals or both. And so I put this off simply because I kept negotiating with myself. Oh, I'll do a little bit later on. And then you never get to it. And then later on, I guess you could also call it procrastination. But at the end of the day, it's these little mental gymnastics things that you do to yourself and you're sabotaging yourself. I'm like, okay, now, once I saw that meme, I'm like, okay, there ain't nothing holding me back. As soon as I get done, I'm going to go to the next thing. And it's always best to knock out the things you want to do least first.
Yeah.
You notice that too?
Yeah. Like the things that you... the hardest tasks, whatever that is for you, just like for me, it's the cold showers. And I just have to, it got to the point when I finally did it where I was like, okay, I'm just shutting my brain off. I'm not even going to think about it. I'm just going to look at it as just another task. And I'm just going to get in there, turn the cold water on and just do it. Like I'm just shutting my brain off.
Yeah, that's what you got to do. But you play these. Now, I know you have your version of it now. It's easier to see things in other people than you can in yourself. But let's talk about another area where you negotiate with yourself. And that's, believe it or not, it's going to be maybe some of the relationships you have with people in this world. You're negotiating with yourself as to whether or not, let's say it's a person that's really not going in the same direction as you. Let's say it's somebody you see as a friend, or they've been a friend, but you're growing, but they aren't. And so you're like, okay, now how do I, this person's still wanting to hang out, do whatever. And you're realizing that you're on a path and they aren't necessarily helping you down that path.
Or it could be like a family member, somebody that you feel like, I really like, this is a family member. I really need to do whatever I need to keep this relationship, until you get to a point where it's like, you know what? I have tried and tried and tried, and like, this person's not growing. You know, you're the only one growing in that relationship.
Yeah. Yeah. And so you find yourself drifting. And so you negotiate with yourself as to whether or not you want to keep this going. And it's like the thing it just drives me crazy is long goodbyes. Yeah. Instead of just saying bye, let's kiss each other and go out the door. When you make a long goodbye, you make an uncomfortable situation excruciating, instead of just doing it and going on. So it goes right back to that negotiation. But I want to get back to these bad people. They may not be bad people. They just may be bad for you.
Yeah. I don't think they're necessarily bad people. They're just not. You just don't have the same goals in life, I think.
Or some of them just, there are some people that are bad.
Yeah.
And we've dealt with some before. And you just may be drifting in another way, or you realize this person's on a road you can't travel, but you keep negotiating with yourself as to whether or not you're going to have that relationship with them. And as cliche as it is, you are the sum, as they say, of the five people you spend the most time with. And like even the Bible says, he that walks with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. I firmly, truly, honestly believe that. It's right there in Proverbs. And we do this mental gymnastics, and just because they're family doesn't make them good for you.
Right.
So we keep doing this stuff where we negotiate with ourselves, and we keep forward progress out of our lives because I'm negotiating, and I'm talking about me here, because I know it almost certainly resonates with everybody else. You got a project down the hill that needs to get done. You know that it needs to get done, but you're finding lesser projects that you know you can finish quickly and get a win, but you're not putting in anything on the big project that really needs to get done. And so you wait, you wait, you wait. Next thing you know, you got Silvergrass is 10 feet tall.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, those other projects, because you made poor negotiations with yourself, instead of jumping foot first into what was helpful on that project, well, now it's metastasized. Now it's 10 times worse. With the cold showers or anything else, whether it's the morning sun, whatever it may be in your case, drinking the coffee later, you're sitting here, will I, won't I, will I, won't I? Well, that's another thing you learn from people like Tony Robbins, is once you make that decision and you truly make it, excuse me, that's where the progress happens. But really, one of the biggest, and I can't put an emphasis on this enough, are the people in your life. All right. With that said, man, I got a bug in my throat, honey. What do you have to add? What are some of the things?
Well, I think one of the issues, one of the biggest areas that I struggle with it is like doing these ruck marches, because I'm in the middle of it. It's long. I mean, it takes, I'm not doing like 3 mile ruck marches. They're longer. So then you get the ruck gets heavy, body parts start hurting, and you start negotiating the terms again. Well, maybe I won't just do this. Maybe I'll just do a shorter distance. And it gets to the point where you just have to say, no, it doesn't matter how much it hurts. It doesn't matter. Like, just turn your brain off, keep putting one foot ahead of the other, and just keep going until you're done. Like, that's what I have found, is like, you just have to turn your brain off and do what you said you were going to do.
Right. And the one you're letting down is going to be ultimately yourself. I mean, this, you know, same thing when it comes to diets. And the reason why I think this is especially important is that we're past the first, obviously. Everybody has been down this road of, dieting or new lifestyle. You know, a bunch of gym owners just made a lot of money. And we start negotiating with ourselves and saying, okay, this commitment I made ain't going to work out. But I got to say, one of the biggest, one of the most consequential, y'all, and I've talked about it numerous times, are the relationships, the friendships you make along the way. There's been some people along the way that have had to get jettisoned. They weren't good, or they weren't good for me, or good for you. Some of them, you know, like, I know you're making reference to certain family members on your side. Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, it's what it is. I mean, if somebody's determined, there's nothing more frustrating than you don't see a person for X amount of years. That person hasn't changed one iota. Yeah.
There's been no growth.
No growth at all. But you have.
Right.
And it's like you don't even know how to have the conversation.
You can't
with this
have
anymore.
You, it's limited. It's very limited what you can talk to some of these people about, because their world is just not changed.
Well, that's what makes it so much easier at a homestead festival or something like that, is that you're already walking the door and you already know that you have something in common with the people in that room.
Right.
So, I mean, and you always walk away from those things wishing, oh, shoot, man, I wish I lived next to these people. Look, to come full circle with this, y'all, I brought this up because it was so impactful for me, because when I saw that, I'm like, okay, I know exactly what that means. I don't know what Goggins meant by it, but I know what I mean by it. It's like, yeah, stop negotiating with yourself. Your body is telling you, stop, stop, stop. When you know what you're doing, the only reason you made the decision to do it in the first place is because you know it's going to be better for you. And then you're up here fighting. This is why you're negotiating with yourself as to how well you're going to do that task. Well, that's another one of those things. I'm not much into New Year's resolutions. Well, actually, I do have one. And that's just between you and I as far as what that means. But yeah, but I guess as a resolution of sorts, you could say, look, one of the things I'm really working on is stopping the negotiations with myself. All right, with that, we're going to go straight into my man, Chef Keith Snow.
Hey, Chef Keith Snow, your PimpCast tip of the day. Storing wheat is just one part of the equation. Grinding is also super important and can be tricky. Practice definitely makes perfect. We should all be checking our stored grain to ensure there are no bugs, and also to be using it. Make sure your grinder, you do have a grinder, right, can grind fine enough to make the kind of baked goods you envision using the grain for. When you buy flour at the store, for instance, it is quite finely ground. Oftentimes, these home grinders do not do a great job of getting that same texture. And if the flour is too rough or too coarse, it's going to completely change the outcome of anything you bake with it. Now, I have two grinders. One of them is a hand crank. Comes from a company called Grain Maker in Montana. It's excellent. And I also have a Komo, K-O-M-O. That is a mill from Austria. And both of them can produce store quality ground flour. I've had some cheaper ones in the past, both electric and hand crank, that just did not have the capacity to make real fine flour. So keep that in mind. Now, for the record, these are the grains that I store: white winter wheat, soft white wheat, hard red wheat, rye berries, that's how you make rye flour, spelt, which is an ancient grain, oat groats, that's whole oats, rice, several different types of rice, and also organic yellow corn. In fact, except for the rice, all of the grains that I store are 100% organic, so that makes me feel a little bit better. Now, I store them in heavy-duty Mylar bags and then inside of food-grade buckets with heavy-duty lids, but it still makes sense for you to check them every so often. And I do use the grain that we have in my recipes when I bake bread. So that's it. I hope you do take all this into consideration. Also, check out foodstoragefeast.com. Take care.
All righty. Go check out Chef Snow. You'll be glad you did. He's got some balling coffee and spices, too. Oh, so we got this one, man. This thing got sent when I was talking to y'all a while ago about these emails. Man, it came up, and I'm like, okay, where was this? I had one that disappeared and all of a sudden pops back up again. And then I got like some enchanted email system going on, like Beauty and the Beast. What, things get dark and then all of a sudden the email just, look, y'all, they're playing games with some of this stuff. And if I don't respond or if I don't do it in a timely manner, I probably didn't get it. Or, I mean, yeah, so that's what's up. Anyway, this one came from Carrie M. And I'm going to basically, I'm going to have to condense this a little bit. But basically, Carrie lives in Canada, and she's talking about the censorship that's going on, I guess, in Canada and also in Ireland. And apparently, it's pretty doggone bad. Well, I just did an interview with a guy in Ireland the other day. He interviewed me on his podcast. And so, frankly, I'm reaching out to him. Hopefully, he'll be on this week. So, yeah, Carrie, I mean, it wouldn't shock me at this point. I mean, things are so weird at this state that I don't, it's like you were saying a little while ago, honey. I mean, how is it? It's amazing that it's hard to get people to believe
that they wouldn't screw with you, that yeah. they haven't been lying to you for the last however many hundreds of years.
Yeah, I don't get it. I mean, it's just, but you just can't even get people to take a second look at a lot of this stuff.
I don't understand it, because it's like once you start, you know, figuring out all the ways that they've lied, like it's just, you just keep uncovering more.
Yeah. Wow. So we got, all right. So I got a lot of weird things going on here. This thing. Okay. So I got another one here from Bruce. And he's talking about, man, he sent this picture of this cowboy soup. Is that what it says on there? Yeah, cowboy soup. And he freeze dried it. So he's like, hey, man, you're doing some good out there. So, look, I hope it does inspire folks. We have got to get foot to butt when it comes to putting back food, y'all. I mean, you got insurance for everything, but preparedness. If you hear that little meow in the background, Michelle insisted on opening the door to the podcast studio to let this bad dog in. Now look what's going on. Yeah. So both of them are in here right now. And this cat will not quit. You going to make some more noise, cat?
Or kitty.
Yeah. So now she, yeah, this little up here dropping rats on the front porch.
Yeah. She left a little gift for us this morning. A little headless mouse.
Yeah. Well, yeah, she did a number on it. Yvonne sent this email. She basically is pointing out that, you know, according to some of the FEMA documents, that stockpiling food is apparently quite frowned upon. And, you know, I think it was already in an executive order a while back that if things go too stupid, that they will come after your stuff. So I'm not shocked.
Yeah. Well, what are they calling people? You're called hoarders now if you have any more than like what, a couple days food? Weren't they like, I remember it was like right after COVID they were calling these people hoarders.
Yeah, as if that's like, a bad, I mean, did you steal it?
People canned it, like they were canning like vegetables that they grew from their garden and they were calling them hoarders.
Yeah, and sadly the brainwashing works.
Yeah,
it is absolutely mind-boggling to me, the level of brainwashing that is able to, like, oh, they went and checked this guy's house. He had an arsenal. Okay, is that illegal?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, if he had a howitzer in his front yard, I don't care. Is it, I mean, where is it illegal to have a bunch of rounds and ammo and stuff like that? But they got the mainstream normie out there thinking that this is something they should never do, that this is a bad thing. All right, we got another one here from Chevy Stairs. Hey, pimps, thought about collecting mushrooms and inoculating it in a cardboard and then adding it to my compost. My question is, does it make sense? And what mushroom should be used? Okay. Thank you. Love the podcast. All right, thank you so much. Okay, when it comes to your compost, whenever you get woody stuff, we've done stuff on Patreon talking about this a little bit, where we go out there and we look for a certain kind of mycelium. You want to tell them what that looks like when we're out in the woods?
Well, it's just like the long white threads. Like if you see that, they're usually found near logs, but if you like pull back the leaves and you see those long white threads, you can, it's typically the beneficial mushrooms, and you can just inoculate your pile with it.
When we look under a microscope, we can usually tell, depending on how many micrometers the width of that fungus is, as to whether or not it's likely to be good or bad. And if it's very narrow, it's a lot of times not, there's other things, you know, the septa isn't uniform, the color isn't right. There's a bunch of little things that you can go through, but generally when it looks like veins and you can audibly see them, 9 times out of 10, that's a good thing. But as far as collecting mushrooms and inoculating on a cardboard and putting it in your compost, absolutely nothing wrong with doing that. And as far as the type, it all depends on your area. King Strophoria, no matter where you are, is something you might want to, there's always, it's indigenous to North America, but if you put that in your compost, generally that's one of the big teeth and mouth of the forest.
And it's good at breaking down, especially good. I mean, all of them are decomposers, but that one seems to be especially good at breaking down woody material.
Right. So there's a bunch, pretty much. Oh, good night, man. I mean,
I think you could really do any of them, can't you?
Well, for the most part, but I mean, you don't necessarily, it doesn't have to be an edible mushroom. It doesn't, you want that. There's some of these fungus that you'll never see a fruiting body, which is a mushroom, but they're down in there and they're doing fantastic things for your soil. So just consider that. I mean, yeah, what you're doing there, there's no harm in it that I could tell. You could do that, but you could also, another good little trick as far as adding, getting your fungal component to your compost is find those people that sell mushrooms at a farmer's market, get their spent mushroom blocks and cut the edges off and stick that into your compost. Believe it or not, they get, like the guy around here that I get them from, he gets, I can get a whole pickup truck worth for like $30.
And that's all different varieties.
Right. There's a bunch of different, they're all edible mushrooms. I mean, good night. I can't even remember how many of them, but they're all in this compost out there. And in fact, for a while there, right in fall, we had King of the Forest.
I don't remember.
Blue Oyster. That's what it was. Yeah, we had Blue Oyster popping up out of there. But you name it. I mean, it's all in there, and I want as many different types as possible. So yeah, it ain't going to hurt one bit to sit there and get that out and get it done. So that's a beautiful thing about all this, is that there's so many different options. There are so many different methods, so many different techniques, so many different ways to go around all this stuff, y'all. Because the number one thing that we have to remember is we have to stay alert,
stay alive.
I'm a warrior. I'm a warrior.